Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you have permitted us to gather once again. Thanking you mostly that you're always present wherever we are, whether we're by ourselves or with a small crowd or big crowd or wherever, inside, outside, you're there. And always desiring to fellowship with us, to commune with us, to have that relationship so close. And Lord, as we open your word once again this morning, may we sense these wise little sayings, but all in the idea of drawing closer to you and be doing today. You've given us today, apparently, or at least you've given us this morning. And how can we spend these 24 hours ahead of us? Will our presence here make any difference to anyone regarding you? And will we be honoring you and blessing you with our hearts, Lord? So guide us. A new month, they fly by, but we thank you for the health that permits us to be out of bed and be able to gather here. So guide us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 18, 24 Proverbs, a couple of buts in here, and this is a lot of and verses in here. Out of the 24, we have half of them, 12 of them, with ands in them. So most of them are increasing, some are decreasing, with the first part increasing to the second and made more profound, and others are just still a contrast, and each of them kind of stands on its own, and many of these are taken kind of, you can take them a couple of ways, and so just be seeking the Lord and not paying too much attention to what I say, but pay attention to the word itself. Proverbs 18, verse 1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. I don't think that one's too hard to understand. But who is a man who isolates himself? Well, you can define that the way you want to define it. I would define it primarily, he's self-centered. He's always right. He doesn't want to receive instruction. He doesn't even listen to answers that he may give you a question, and then he doesn't even listen to your answer. He just goes on to the next thing he wants to talk about. But what happens then, he rages against all wisdom. He rages against it. So if you want to be raging against wisdom, that means open to receive, right? Then be self-centered, because you close that window off. He who isolates himself seeks his own desire. You're only interested in satisfying yourself and finding others that agree with you. And if they don't agree with you, you don't want anything to do with them, right? Because you're right. Maybe you know a few of those who are always right. Verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. So here's one of the two buts we have today. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. So he's not looking to learn anything. He just wants to, again, this is still kind of on the self-centered thing. He's only interested in expressing in his own heart. He's looking within, not looking without. Verse 3, when the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. So you got three comes there. You got three characteristics of wickedness. You've got contempt, you've got dishonor, and you've got reproach. So wickedness is not so good, is it? When the wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. Mocking, looking down, reproach, disgracing. Verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Even though deep waters, the velocity isn't going to be very high there, but there's going to be some depth to it. The wellspring of wisdom is kind of contrasted to that because it's bubbling up. It's not just a deep water. It's bubbling up. It's a flowing brook. I think of, you know, maybe people like Pastor Chuck and others you may come to mind. They don't say much when you talk to them alone or whatever. They're pretty quiet. But then these great comments of wisdom come percolating out, maybe a couple of words or whatever. And it's just a wellspring of wisdom. So how does that describe you? How is the balance between being quiet and talking too much, or being quiet and passing on your wisdom? I think we old people have a tendency to do one of two things. We either talk a lot and say nothing, or we shut up and we don't pass on anything to anybody else, right? Oh, I don't want to bother anybody. Hey, you've got a lot of experience. You've got a lot of wisdom. Share it, right? Within balance. So I think that's a good one in that regard. Verse 5, it is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Obviously, we can think of our judicial systems there very easily, but don't show partiality to the wicked. Judge them like you judge the poor or like anybody else. There's supposed to be not imbalance there. And don't overthrow the righteous in judgment. You know, we tend to be doing that way too much, it seems to me. Verse 6, a fool's lips. Now we got four verses here about lips, about the mouth, about the words. So these four kind of all go together in a way, saying pretty much the same thing. A fool's lips enter into contention. That's the individual who's always looking for a fight. They just want to fight. They want to pick a fight. They get some identification out of fighting. I don't know, but it's not a good thing. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. He's basically trying to pick a fight. He's actually trying to call you to hit him so he can hit you back, I guess. Not a good one. Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So, not good things said about fools, is it? And what is a fool again, pretty much in the Bible? Someone who is devoid of God. Someone who thinks God is foolish. I mean, you know, it's foolish. You don't need God. I don't need God. I can handle my own self and so forth. I can. A fool. The words, now this one can probably catch some of us. The words or the gossip of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. Do you ever feel that rush as soon as you hear something that's maybe kind of racy or something about somebody else, and you just almost have that desire to pass it on? I mean, you're just hearing it and you have that desire to pass it on. Do you know what I heard? That's not the way we should operate. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Gossip has no benefits, and it can cause a lot of damage. Verse 9, here we have a laziness. He who is lazy or slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. So there we got a couplet. Laziness and destruction, or you can say two peas in a pod. The lazy one is typically a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Verse 10, the most familiar verse for me in this proverb, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Now here's, I'll read on verse 11 and then come back to 10 a bit. Verse 11 is a contrast. The rich man's wealth is as his strong city. That's what he's depending on, his riches. And like a high wall in his own esteem. It's not a very good wall to have, is it? First of all, that wall you're never going to take with you. Even if it's strong and the other way is, it's not going to stand. Think about all of the property. What do we have? $250 billion worth of damage in these fires. Somebody said, I don't know if that's the right number or not, but that wealth is gone. And so you cannot depend on that. But the name of the Lord, or that's really describing who he is, the person of the Lord, right? The name of the Lord is what? Is. That's a continuing, ongoing, is, always will be, a strong tower. A strong tower. The righteous. We want to run to it. Not just crawl to it or tiptoe to it, but we want to run to it. And there we have safety. The righteous run to it and are safe. Verse 12, before destruction. Now we're going to couple and contrast destruction with honor, and we're going to contrast haughty with humility. So I'm sure you can put that together in your mind. Before destruction, the heart of the proud or the haughty. And before honor is what? Humility. Just exactly the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Your flesh wants to honor itself in how well we're doing things, what good we are, but that leads to destruction. Pride goes before the fall. Verse 3, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Are you a jump-to-conclusioner? Are you quick to answer? James says what? Be slow to speak and quick to listen, right? And you see how that is a good fit here, at least to me. He who answers a matter before he hears it is his folly and shame on him. It's been said the best counselor is the best listener. Verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? You know, our spirit is really important in our physical realm, right? You see, time after time, people just seem to have a strong will to live, and they kind of seem to hang on, defying. I mean, God's got the date he's taking us home, and don't get me wrong. But they seem to be able to unbelievably hang on compared to the physical condition they're in. And on the other hand, those who have a broken spirit don't live long. How many marriages do you know, old marriages, where both are fairly good health, and then one of them dies, and then what happens? Almost invariably, the next one dies pretty quickly after that. That's just the way you lose your will to live. I don't mean that's always the case, but it seems like it frequently is the case. At any rate, the will to live is very important, and if you have no longer will to live, your physical body isn't going to do very well. Verse 15, the heart of the prudent, or the heart of the wise, acquires knowledge. I love that. Now, we have acquires and seeks. I like that. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Are you still desiring to learn more? I think it's important to have the wise person is always acquiring knowledge. Now, if you don't believe that, tell me the last time you read the Bible seriously and intently and didn't learn something. Even if you go over the verses you've gone over 100 times, you still learn something if you're seeking from the Lord, right? And so we're all holding this Bible in our hands, or most of us anyway. And if we're in it, we'll be learning wisdom, or we'll be seeking wisdom. And if we're not, we won't. Verse 16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now, this can be taken two ways. It can be a gift that blesses, that makes room for you. A blessing person is always welcome, right? Now, that gift can also be taken as a bribe, and then it works the other way. A man's bribe makes room for him and brings him before great men. He buys their favor, but that's wrong, that's bad, and that won't last, will it? Once the money's gone... The person that's giving you that favor isn't going to give it to you anymore. But I like the positive one better myself. I think it fits it really a little better. A man's gift of blessing makes room for him and brings him before others, really. Verse 17, the first one to plead his cause seems right. Boy, oh boy. Until his neighbor comes and examines him. How many times have you made a decision based on somebody who's having a problem? Typically, I mean, often, maybe they're asking for prayer. And they tell you their side of the story. And my, oh my, you want to all of a sudden start to pray for whoever they're having problems with. Just a crispy critter, my Lord, just shut their mouth, get them out of here, right? And then you come to hear the other side of the story. And now you, so don't, we didn't jump to conclusions a little earlier, I think back in 13. Don't jump to conclusions, but hear both sides of a matter before you make a decision. How often do people want to be the first one to plead their cause? If you've got a kind of a weak case, you want to get first in line, right? Because if you don't have a very strong cause, you're probably figure I won't have a chance if they hear the other side first, right? Got to get in there and make my case. 18, casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. Now, you can take that a couple of different ways. I like to think of, before a pro football game, of the referee flipping a coin between these two giants out there. And they abide by heads or tails, right? So it keeps them apart. And there was the aspect in the biblical days of God making the decision. You know, the high priest would put his hand into the Urim and the Thummim and pull out a stone, and depending on, we don't really know how that worked, but we suspect it worked, the stone would either give you the yes or give you the no. We know, how did the land get apportioned by Joshua to the children of Israel? It was by lot, wasn't it? Kind of interesting, though, God already said before the lots were cast where they were going to be. But still, God is doing it. But casting lots can be, I mean, if you want to argue with somebody, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere, you can, you know, resort to a yes or a no, to a flip a coin. You know, well, why don't we just do this? If it comes up heads, we'll go to the left. If it comes up tails, we'll go to the right. And you agree to that? Yeah. And so now you're taking the chance, you're kind of putting it in chance of that, but at least you're putting it on that rather than I'm right or you're wrong. So it does cause contentions to cease. Verse 19, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Wow. Offended, or say sinned against. A brother sinned against is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. Wow. That's pretty vivid, isn't it? I also wrote down here, be careful, don't take your friends or your relationships for granted. I think husbands often would say things to their wives that they would never say to anyone else, really. But they would take them for granted and, you know, you really need my correction, right? Because I'm so smart. No, I don't think that goes very well. Now you're back to contentions like the bars of a castle. And that offense is harder to turn somebody around than taking a strong city. Verse 20, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. So here's a digestive illustration talking about words, basically. But good words, wisdom words, will satisfy your body, right? How does your body react when you're not telling the truth, or when you're in a contentious situation and maybe it's primarily your cause? Your body doesn't do well. Your stomach doesn't do well. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. There's power in your speech. Wise words go a long way, and unfortunately, foolish words also go too far, don't they, in the wrong way. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wow. Much potential in what comes out of your mouth for good or bad. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, that's on the benefit side, but it can also be the other way on the negative side. Verse 22, another familiar one here in this chapter. He who finds a wife, notice that word is singular. Solomon, did you hear anything? I thought you wrote these.
Yeah, you did.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And we would all say yes. I would say one thing additionally. He who finds a wife of the Lord. Or he who finds a wife in the Lord. Because you don't necessarily find a good thing if you're making the choice apart from him, do you? You go by what you see. You go by the Gibeonites. Oh, she's attractive. She's funny. She's charming. And that's the one I want. And then she doesn't know the Lord. Oh, that's okay. She'll come around, you know. I don't think so. It doesn't work that way usually. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and what? Obtains favor from the Lord. So you husbands who have a godly wife, you can really say amen to that. And obtains favor from the Lord. Verse 23. The poor man uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. The poor or the powerless man has to use wisdom, has to use, you know, smoothness. You don't want to upset the apple cart because you don't have any real position. But if you're really strong, you can just run over people, right? And I wrote down here, let's pray for Make America Great Again. Let's pray for a president. You know, there's a side of this that is great to correct some of the things that are wrong. But there's also a side of this that is not really in keeping with what the person has the strength should do. The person who has the strength shouldn't just go around stomping over everybody else, right? And if we could just make that MAGA, Make America Godly Again, I would be all for it. So I love our country, and I don't want our country doing all these wrong things that we've been doing. So we've got a lot of good things going in this first 100 days, but I think we really need to pray. We really need to pray and not get carried away with our strength. And, you know, we're number one in the world and everybody else is going to do what we say. We don't care what. I don't think that's the right. I'm not saying that's the way it is. I'm just saying there is a tendency to use your strength in an ungodly way. Okay, let's see. Where were we? We got down to, I think we are at 24 now. The last one, yes. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, I think we can all figure out the last part of that verse, but the first part of the verse is a little bit more controversial. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Now, one way of looking at that is if you're kind to others, and you want them to be kind to you, you need to be kind to them. If you want to be their friend, and if you want friends, you got to be friendly, right? But you're not trying to get something out of them. Well, I want to be nice to people so they'll give me something. I think of my prayers. How often are my prayers not wanting the Lord, but I want what the Lord's benefits are for me? It's all about benefits. Heal me. Provide for me. Do this, do that. And those are all prayers, certainly. But it shouldn't be our real desire in prayer should be seeking him for who he is, right? So same with your friends. You want friends that you can be friends with, kind with, and give and take and so forth. You don't want friends just to get something from them. I think when we're young, we like to be able to meet famous people and big shots and all, because, man, I could be a friend with, the governor or whatever it is. And then you get older and you find out, well, there's nothing so great about that governor. I don't want to be around. It depends on where they are, right? But a man who has friends must be friendly himself. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, you may take that two ways. You may take that in a worldly account, or you may take it to the truest account, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 15:13, what greater love has no man than this, than that a man lays down his life for his friend. That is the friend there of all friends, Jesus. But I'm sure you may have one or two or maybe more people in your life that may not be your blood relatives, but they're closer to you than your brother. They're closer to you than that. You can really depend, people say, who your friends are when you go through some real tough times, particularly long times. You go through an extended sickness, you know, everybody's your friend for the first month or two, right? And then it goes on and on and on, and the number of friends just probably dwindle down. You know, you may get down to one or two, maybe if that. But close here. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I shouldn't say close. That's the close for us today. There's nothing about these chapter breaks that's really godly, generally. These are just all chapter breaks that have been put in by man to break this up and to index it. Because today we can look at any one of 24 verses in chapter 18, and we're all exactly the same place. Think about the old days when you just had a scroll, and you'd get this old scroll out, and how are you going to know where you are in it? You know, so it's about 2.5 inches down, about three quarters of an inch in from the left. You know, you'd never be able to find it. But here we got the indexing that's been in there, I guess, about what, since 800, 1,000 years after Christ, something like that, maybe earlier than that, I don't know. Father, we thank you for your Proverbs. We thank you for the wisdom that is in it. We thank you for the mirror that it is for us as we look into these verses and we see ourselves in them. In some cases, the fit isn't too bad. In some cases, we really get convicted. So help us to move on those convictions with response and with a desire to be more like you. In Jesus' name, lead us in this time of prayer now that we would be led by your Spirit to redeem these moments in praying together. Well, we come to about the end of the hour, and just thinking of the verse 10 there, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And so I just wanted to sing this praise song, Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the refrain to it basically is, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So let's sing this together, if we may.
Thank you.
And Father, we all agree, blessed is your name. Help us to call on that name and help us to proclaim that name. And Lord, even as our hearts are touched by the thought of the grief of some of these circumstances in life, I just pray this is a wake-up call for everyone who has children to ask themselves or question, if my child was taken out instantaneously, where would they be? And the ones that are with you, we would immediately be comforted by that living hope. But without that living hope, it would be really grieving. And so, Lord, help us to do now what we can do to be ready for that time. We don't know when we're going to take our last breath. We know one thing, everyone will. Every one of our children will. Every one of our grandchildren will. They'll take their last breath. May we be ready, Lord, as best we can, praising you and honoring you. Thank you for the meeting here this morning, and just direct our steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.